Hi there, people on the internet with computers. That's kind of redundant. This is the BenHeck.com podcast episode. You know, I'm not sure. Hold on a second. Jason Jones is here, too.
Hello. I think it's 46.
I believe you are correct. You are right.
I am. I get a wooden nickel for my efforts.
Okay. Anyway, yes, this is the 46th BenHeck.com podcast. Sorry we were a couple weeks late. Possumus Man 2, Possumus Woman, has been distracting us, especially me.
How shocking.
But it's definitely going to be the best movie about a giant possum ever made.
Yeah, it's even better than the original, if that can be believed.
Well, the costume's a lot better, the possum costume.
Yes.
Okay, well, so we're back, and we're squeezing off a podcast before the 4th of July. We get a wild weekend. And I think the main... What we were going to talk about... Oh, yes, one of the things we want to talk about is hero games that Activision should make. We had a poll on our site about this as well, but I'm sure more could be discussed. And then I guess there's some Rock Band 2 news, and, you know, we're big fans of Rock Band, so this will probably be kind of like a musical game episode, I guess you could call this. And you know how in 5 years people's living rooms are going to be completely filled with plastic junk peripherals.
Yes, you won't even be able to walk in anymore.
Yes, until Wall-E comes in and cleans it all up.
Yes, which everybody should go and see Wall-E if they haven't yet, because it kicks ass.
Yes, although I still... Well, I don't know, I underestimated the movie going public with Love Guru, but people wisely stayed away, but hopefully I'll be wrong again with Wall-E.
Yes, because you seem to think that it won't catch on with the mainstream or something.
I think it's too intelligent for most people. I know that's a very arrogant thing to say, but...
I think it can be enjoyed by people even if they don't pick up on all of the... You know,
why?
Messages in it.
I actually think it's going to be the next AI.
Well, it's going to make way more money than AI.
Well, I mean, it already has.
It's almost made as much as AI did, so...
but
okay. But it is a great... Yeah, it's a great sci-fi movie that just happens to be animated. Is basically what it is.
And so. It's a love story.
Yeah. Between robots. But it's remarkably well done. I was very pleased with it, so...
So you think audiences will put up with, you know, the lack of dialogue for the first...
I think so. I mean,
God, it's probably almost 40 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's...
See, I have no problem with it. I just wonder...
Yeah, I know, but like...
Like the movie AI. I love that movie, but most people hated it.
Yeah, but it was a bit different animal, I think. You know, this, at least it's animated, so automatically parents think, oh, this is for children. Where AI had no child slant to it at all.
Do you really think, you know, Wall-E is like...
I don't think Wall-E is going to be like the box office hit of the year, but I have no doubt that it'll make over $200 million.
I guess we'll see after this Wiggity Wiggity Wild Weekend of the 4th of July.
Wall-E's going to put Hancock in his like trash compactor and squeeze him out into a square of trash.
Well... You know, I'm not going to have time to edit this today, so by the time I edit this, you know, the weekend of Wall-E already passed, but I am so confident. I will say that Hancock, it'll easily make $100 million this weekend.
Probably.
Well, see, I wanted to see it, but then it sounds like it's not very good, but that's not going to stop people.
Yeah, because most people don't, you know, read stuff online or, you know, follow this stuff like
Ooh,
we do.
Okay, how about for our second topic, our movie critics...
Relevant?
Yeah, are they relevant? Okay, that's topic two. And topic three is whatever we come up with along the way. I'm sure there'll be something.
Nice.
All right, so yes, it's going to be new hero games, Rock Band 2 stuff, plastic peripheral shit, are movie critics relevant? And, well, we were like talking about box office stuff today, so let's talk about that too. So this is the music and movies issue. Once again, I'm not going to talk about my own projects because I do that everywhere else, so I'm not going to do it here.
Nice.
Well, I mean, I was just talking to my sister on the phone just before we did this, and she's pregnant, and she's like, all anyone talks to me about is babies. She's like, yes, I'm pregnant. And I totally agree with her. I mean,
yeah,
I don't like talking about video games all the time. I'd rather talk about, like, beer or space engines or beer. So that's why my podcast, I don't talk about my own projects, because all my other venues are for that.
Because this is supposed to be fun.
Right. If you want to hear about my projects, just read an interview or watch a thing I've been on TV or something. Which is, you know, also Posthumous Man is another outlet. We could talk about that too.
Sure.
Okay, so if we talk about gaming news...
Yeah, it's basically like Rock Band 2 is probably...
Yeah,
the,
so maybe we could save that for when we get into music.
I don't know if there's anything else really big that... I guess, like, Metal Gear has come out and you've beaten it since the last podcast probably, right?
Yeah, because we're about two weeks late, aren't we? Or at least a week late?
I think we're like about 3.5 weeks since the last one. So.
Really? I know, I don't think we've done a podcast since we started filming Posthumous Man.
Yes.
And that was 2.5 weeks ago?
Very well.
Yes, that's correct. So I beat Metal Gear Solid 4 and...
/ watched Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, I would say it's at least 50% cutscenes, but I've played most of the other games, so it was cool to have a lot of the storylines wrapped up.
Yeah.
Although, spoiler warning, even though through the whole game he's got one foot in the coffin and the other in a banana peel, spoiler warning... Snake does not die in the end, and I thought that was bullshit. remember on Lost, when Charlie was like, I gotta tell you, Charlie, you're gonna die, you know?
Yeah, and, Desmond told him that, yeah.
Right, and I even read someplace, they said, well, you know what? We set up Charlie to die all season, so at the end, he had to die.
Mm-hmm.
And Metal Gear Solid did not do this. Lame. It's a cool game, though, but God damn it, Snake, die! I mean, he's crawling through this... tunnel that leads to this computer brain thing, and the tunnel is filled with like microwaves just designed to cook people so they can't get in there. That's fine. He lives through that.
Isn't it like his clothes are getting
cooked
like, off and
stuff?
Yeah,
his like octo-camel suit is like even burning off, and no, but he lives.
That's good.
Yeah.
He's resilient.
He doesn't die of lung cancer either. Maybe that's what he'll secretly die of.
They're studying him at the Mayo Clinic right now.
Otacon, where's Minnesota? Minnesota is in the middle of the United States! Yeah, in Metal Gear Solid, every time someone says something to him, he has to repeat it back. It's like, Snake, use the octo camo. Octo camo? It's around your body. My body? I'm Snake. Yeah, talk about like positive reinforcement and redundancy. But it was a cool game. I probably like Metal Gear Solid 3 better, but... the fourth one was perfectly enjoyable, and they finally fixed the camera.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I watched, like, you and Dave play it a bit, and it was kind of a fun game to watch people play. I don't know if it looked that fun to actually play, if that makes any sense. Like, I didn't feel compelled to, like, pick up a controller and play the game, but I was content to sit there for, like, an hour and watch you guys play it.
Yeah.
I think the cutscenes were a big part of it for me, because it's like you'd play for, like, 5 minutes, and then, oh, here's, like... 5 to 10 minutes of cutscene now. It's like...
Yeah, but you know, when I was playing it, I kind of liked that aspect, because I could just kind of sit there and watch it. It was very passive.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, seriously, you might play for 10 minutes, then there'll be like a, you know, 30-minute cutscene, and then you play for like 30 minutes, and there's like another 30-minute cutscene. I don't know if any of the cutscenes were 90 minutes. There were probably some that pushed an hour, though.
Jesus.
And the ending isn't actually the longest one, either. It's pretty long, though.
Wow.
I guess it's a pretty cool game. I liked it.
Nice.
I also tried that Penny Arcade Adventures. I downloaded the demo, and I'm not a fan of RPGs, but for some reason I found that compelling. I haven't bought it yet. I probably won't, but...
Well, it has fruit fuckers in it. I mean, yes! Come on! That was pretty cool looking. I don't know if I could quite stomach the $20 for the download, though. But if it were like a $10 one, I'd probably snag it. But it did look like a lot of fun.
What about the $60 Aerosmith song pack?
No. I said long ago I would only pay probably like $40 tops for that.
Didn't Rock the 80s start at $40?
Yeah, but that was a PS2 game.
That was only on PS2?
Yeah.
Yeah, but things like Test Drive Unlimited, the game that gets mentioned in every podcast.
Yes!
And Table Tennis started out at $40.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right, well, why don't we move into that then, the hero games. Well, I think this kind of started... My new thing to, like, beat everyone over the head with is that they really need to make a country music Guitar Hero game. It would sell.
Oh, yeah, it would. I think, well, and, like, Harmonix already knows this. They've already, like, in the Rock Band 2 announcements I've seen in interviews with, like, the lead designer of Rock Band, he even mentioned that in Rock Band 2 they plan on expanding, like, the genres of music, and he specifically mentioned stuff like country and even like R&B and rap, which I don't quite know if I agree with those.
Yeah,
'cause that's not really band, you know?
Well, you know, some people would also vomit at the mention of country, but at least country has all the instruments.
Yeah, it's got all
like
the...
Like R&B, it's always like, baby, baby, gonna rub you all down, yeah. It's just like this guy in like one instrument.
Yeah.
And rap is just like, well, I get rap would actually probably be...
I mean, I could see there being a game for that sort of stuff.
Well,
I just
like
don't...
Sublime is in... He's in Guitar Hero 4, right? And he's like, ska.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, Sabotage was in...
And it's lame.
Yeah, which it's like one of my least liked songs.
Oh, I just thought of something. That You Ought to Know song by Alanis Morissette is in Rock Band 2, apparently.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they're going to change the lyrics to, you know, because...
She dropped some F-bombs.
Yeah,
in there
are you thinking of me when you... Fuck her, they say.
They'll probably just bleed it out, you know, like have it be a dead spot.
And then everyone will say it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, actually they changed...
Because they did that in Creep.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Never mind.
And they've had a few DLC songs come out that have had, like, either F-bombs or, you know, shit or whatever in them, and they have a fairly interesting censorship system. You have to wonder what all goes into it. Like, maybe the band requests that it gets done in some cases. Because, like, on that Pixies album that just came out, there's a song in it, I guess, where they say marijuana in it.
Mm-hmm.
That got censored out. But then in one of the Grateful Dead songs, they talk about cocaine in it. And that's not censored.
Isn't cocaine kind of, like, not a cool drug anymore, though?
No, but I mean, it's worse than marijuana. So,
well, most drugs are.
It's kind of... So you got to wonder what all it goes into, how
well,
they decide...
Well, it's probably for the children. Because
well,
the children
I'm sure
are more
is.
Likely to do marijuana than cocaine because, you know, they're not movie stars. What was I going to say?
That could be...
Oh, shit. I forgot what I was going to say. It involved something.
Well, like with your country hero you were talking
about.
No,
it was after that. I don't know. But I think that's very good, because one thing that was neat about Rock Band was that, yeah, we've talked about before how it kind of tried to educate people about music, which is, like, you know, questionable. But the thing is, it did have a wider range of genres than, you know, Guitar Hero is mostly, like, you know, hair bands.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rock Band had, like, Weezer. Oh, I guess there was a Weezer song in Guitar Hero 3, but, but, you know, then it had, like, it had a lot better selection. I think if they continued to expand that, it would be popular because women like country music. If you want to get women to play the games, it's not just about giving them a wand to throw mushrooms around.
Yeah.
They like country music. I mean, I karaoke a lot. I know this to be true. Like, if they had, like, KT Tunstall in there or something like that,
yes.
Or, like, Carrie Underwood, that would be extremely, extremely smart of them to do.
Hey, I even requested that Black Horse and the Cherry Tree song on Rock Band's site. So.
Yes!
I'm not even a country fan, but that song's freaking cool. Is she even really country?
KT Tunstall?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
She's probably just more like...
That song sounds kind of country, but she has the other one where... I don't know what it's called exactly, but it's the one where she's like, her map is the face of the world, it's the face of the world. That one's like... Yeah, the Black Horse Tree or whatever is... Black Horse Tree. It sounds like a country song, but I don't think... Her other stuff kind of isn't. It's more like...
Pop,
you know, Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
Hey, where was Dolores O'Riordan from? Was that Ireland?
Who?
You know, the lead singer of the Cranberries.
Oh.
That was Ireland,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
and Katie Tunstall's like Scottish or something?
Yeah, I think it's important for them to expand into country. Like, I think doing that through, like, the DLC is a good move, because that way the people have a choice. You know, if people want the country stuff, then boom, they can go and get it. You know, and...
Well, I mean, there's plenty of, like, shit that you had to, like...
They could sprinkle a couple on the CD, you know, just for shits and grins, I guess, but...
Well, no, when we think about it, they have, there's songs on Rock Band that suck that, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you hate doing that Ballroom Blitz song, and pretty much everyone seems to hate.
Bop.
Yeah. So, I mean, if people can suffer through that, they can suffer through country.
Oh, yeah, that's why I just said, you know, they could put a couple
Sabotage.
Of songs on there or whatever, you know, and...
Yeah.
Because I think that is something, like, I disagree with you, and I'd say, like, on disc songs, I think Guitar Hero 3 has a much better balance of music than Rock Band does.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Rock Band totally neglects the 80s, and...
Yeah, that's true.
Where Guitar Hero 3 has a pretty good mix across... all eras. Like, they've got Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones, they've got Talk Dirty to Me by Poison, you know, they've got, which one is, they got Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss, you know, then they've got more modern stuff, like, what the hell, well, then they got, like, Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses, you know, another big 80s song, and, but then they have stuff like Weezer on it and Smashing Pumpkins and, you know, so I think they did a lot better of hitting all genres than Rock Band did, because Rock Band pretty much didn't even acknowledge that the 80s existed. And the 80s have a lot of great, like, karaoke-type songs, so...
Yeah.
But it looks like they're trying to rectify that, because in the whole thing for Rock Band 2, there's, like, this leaked picture of a screen from it, and there's some songs on it, and one of them was a Journey song, at least, so that's good.
Yeah, well, I guess they've released some more songs that are coming out for it, and...
Well, I don't know if they've released them. I know I saw a thing where it was somebody who claimed that they played the game or something,
yeah.
And...
Well, I think there's, like, a Cheap Chick song, but again, it's not... The Flame, or what's the other one they did? Oh, I Want You to Want Me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm like some sort of like music expert. I'm not. But I remember when these bands were popular, and you remember what their biggest hit songs were, you know? And then then where is it? Or like kind of like with the Aerosmith Guitar Hero game.
Yeah.
As we direly predicted, a lot of the good stuff from the Geffen years, like late 80s, early 90s, is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, they have, on a whole game committed to Aerosmith, they have one song from Get a Grip, one song from Pump, and one from Permanent Vacation.
Yes.
Although
Even though those are arguably their
biggest albums.
And they don't have their biggest song, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lame sellout song, but it's also, you know, the biggest hit Aerosmith song.
Yeah, it's just, like, what the hell? But I think, though, like we were talking before the podcast, I have a feeling they're holding some of that big shit back for GH4.
And that's lame.
Which is lame, but probably true. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you see, like, Crazy or Amazing or I Don't Want to Miss a Thing or something on GH4. Or in a song pack for it, you know, then they could bring out, like, a clump of the Aerosmith songs people really want.
Okay, so... Speaking of Activision, let's talk about some other hero games they could make. So, I've already said they should make a country hero. I mean, I think they could just make a whole game about country music and it would sell.
Oh, it would sell. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, they need to make Neil Diamond hero.
Yes! Alright, so Activision, if you're listening, these are the games that you should make. So get started as soon as we're done.
Although they would have to make it so you could sing on that one, too.
So should Neil Diamond hero have, like, a bottle controller with it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you'd have to be... Well, I mean, they have a Guitar Hero 4 with singing.
Yeah. Maybe they should just make a like, Neil Diamond pack.
Why didn't
for
they call
that?
It, like, Band Hero? Because...
Yeah, it's...
I don't know. Well, even with Rock Band, still, we mostly play the guitars, so maybe that's why.
Well, it's
care.
Because Guitar Hero is a well-established brand name.
Yeah,
that's only
true.
Reason.
I just hope... I'm not terribly interested in it, but I just hope the microphone and guitar stuff... Or, I'm sorry, drum stuff isn't, like, an afterthought.
Yeah.
And well, I hope it's a lot more polished than Part 3 was.
Well, Red Octane's made some pretty... Like, as peripheral-wise, I have no complaints with any of the Red Octane guitars I've ever used, where the Rock Band guitar left something to be desired.
Yeah, the whammy bar broke again when we were playing it the other day.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so Neil Diamond Hero could cover the amazing career of Neil Diamond, everyone's favorite singer.
Well, they could definitely make a Guns N' Roses game. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
They're making a Metallica game, aren't they?
Yeah. Because from going on, like, the Rock Band forums and stuff, which I go to fairly frequently, like, they have this section where, you know, you can... They call it, like, your ultimate set list, and people go in there and, you know, go, blah, 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 they should put this in the game or whatever, and I swear Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses is probably the most requested album by far on there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, make a Guns N' Roses game, actually put songs from their most popular album in the game, Activision, and then, you know, they also have the stuff from the later albums like November Rain and things like that, and there's plenty of stuff they could put in there.
So there's like 42, 43 songs in this Aerosmith game?
I looked on, like, the Wikipedia page, which is usually where I go to see song lists for games, and I think it was, like, 41 songs were listed on there.
About a third or fourth of those aren't even Aerosmith songs?
Yeah, it's only, like, 20, 25 songs are actually Aerosmith songs
and
on the disc.
Out of those, they only managed to get one each off their biggest...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like Ragdoll...
It had Love in an Elevator from Pump.
And then
Living on the Edge from Get a Grip. Which are all cool songs. I like all those songs.
Pink was on the radio. That was probably like their last song that actually was like...
That was from Nine Lives, though. And that album
sucked. Right, I know,
but... But at least it was a popular song. Yeah,
right,
so they
exactly.
Put it on there.
So,
And not that Living on the Edge or Pump or Love in an Elevator weren't popular songs, but at the same time, there were a few other songs on those albums that were pretty damn popular, too, that I'm sure people buying a game devoted to Aerosmith would kind of expect to be on there.
Well, I know. Let me fire up my Winamp, and let's take a look. Cause I actually have a lot of Aerosmith music on it.
Because they could have put, like, Crazy and Amazing on there. They could have put Janie's Got a Gun.
Do they have Eat the Rich on there?
No.
Get a Grip? Oh, but you get to play Train Kept a Rollin' Again.
Well, now it's a master track instead of a cover.
Oh, that makes it 100% better. Do they have Love in an Elevator on that?
Yep, they've got that. That's the only one off of Pump they've got. So, like, Janie's Got a Gun's not there, and...
Oh, damn. Yeah, what about, like, Till I Met a Blind Man! Ow!
Like, they don't have Angel on there
or
from
Crazy.
Permanent Vacation. Which Angel was, like, a huge song for them.
Yeah. Did they have Dude Looks Like a Lady?
No. Another huge one.
Okay, well,
I have a feeling, like I say, though, I bet you I wouldn't be a bit surprised
lame.
To see, like, a, you know, a six-song Aerosmith pack.
But it's going to piss people off. You know?
Yeah. But they won't care. People will just keep gobbling the shit up.
Okay, let's see what other hero games. So apparently they need to have guitar, so you can't have a Billy Joel hero, unless it was Piano Hero. Although I'd buy it, because I love Billy Joel.
Piano Hero.
I don't love Billy Joel. You know what I mean.
You enjoy his music.
Yes, it's not like I'm Christy Brinkley or anything.
She's getting divorced again.
That's,
for the fourth time.
The fourth time?
Yeah, that's what they said, her fourth marriage.
What, was Billy Joel was her... Was that her first, or...?
I don't know, because she's been busy since she divorced him, then.
Well, they got divorced, I think it was like a 92 or 93.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe... Maybe he was, like, her second. Maybe she had
Did
some
Did she marry
brief
Chuck
fling.
Norris? Because he was in one of those commercials with him.
She should have.
Billy Joel could also have a bottle controller. How about George Michael Hero?
Oh, God.
Speaking of alcoholics. There could be a part in the game where you crash your car. Because wasn't it like Guitar Hero 3 they go to jail for some reason as part of the story?
Yep, yeah, so it's like the fifth venue, I think.
That could happen to, like, you know, George Michael or Boy George. I'm not going to suggest they should make a Boy George hero, but, you know, that certainly happens.
What about Culture Club Hero?
Or Wham Hero. Culture Club Hero. Are we actually talking about ones that are that would sell, or just like bullshit ones?
Well,
I guess
the two I mentioned were to sell. I guess like the Guns N' Roses and Neil Diamond.
Well, I probably not, I like a lot of like 70s music, so I'm probably not really the most relevant person to ask. But I would take like an Eagles Hero. Eagles Hero would be cool. Actually,
I think that would probably sell.
ABBA Hero.
Oh, Dancing Queen.
They should put Dancing Queen in Rock Band. I mean,
it does get karaoke'd from time to time.
I mean, if someone came up to me and said, "Hey, Ben Heck and Dorn, we want you to make a music game. And if anyone wants to, that would be great. My email's on my site. I would totally do it." They come up and say, "Hey, Ben Heckendorf, we want you to make a music game for us, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, "I will do this for you. But you have to pay me. But I will do it." And the first thing I would do is I would go karaokeing and drink. But I would, like, log all that shit.
Yeah, see what people actually sing.
Right,
yeah.
Because it's picking songs. I mean, I could, like, just off the cuff say Neil Diamond Hero and, you know, even though I think that would be appropriate, but What are the songs that people actually want to sing? And, like, if you go karaokeing, and, you know, since these games are all going toward the whole band experience, both the franchises are, I think it's, you know, relevant to include singing. Because your guitar is one thing, but songs are, the singing is actually the most important thing, because that's what you should go by.
That's the hook to get people to actually do it.
Right. And I think sometimes maybe they're gun-shy of songs that aren't guitar-y enough, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so really I think they should go, like, singing first and, like, what the other instruments do are kind of secondary. I mean, like, it's not always as much country as you might think, but there's definitely a lot of country.
Mm-hmm.
Like these days, if you go karaokeing, every time someone will sing that goddamn Carrie Underwood song.
Yeah, the Before He Cheats
one. Carrie Underwood is also a miniature horse whisperer, apparently, according to that commercial.
Yeah, what was that commercial even advertising?
You know, I don't even know.
Oh, it was that vitamin water shit, because it had, like, some other athletes in it.
What does...
But it was, like...
No, you're thinking about the NASA one. Remember, where she's going to space or something?
Yeah, but wasn't that the same thing that... They had, like, another commercial, and it had the miniature horse whisperer in it.
Actually,
it was that vitamin water shit.
Was it vitamin water?
Yeah.
Oh, because she was in that NASA commercial.
Yeah, there was
like that.
Yeah. None of it makes any sense, but...
Yeah, see, I didn't remember what that miniature... the commercial was so stupid, I couldn't even remember what it was advertising. Anyway, you know, like, old stuff, like Frank Sinatra music and stuff, is more popular than a lot of people might imagine. That actually gets sung quite a bit. And not just by old fuckers either, but, like, young people, too.
What's that one that Dale always sings? Build Me Up Buttercup.
The Foundations?
Yeah. Like, that's... I don't know, maybe he's the only one that ever sings that.
I don't know. That's a big karaoke song.
Okay.
I was just going to say something else. You'll agree with this in a heartbeat. Tom Jones Hero.
Yes! Sex Bomb.
That game could come with a free throw panties onto the stage controller.
Yes!
You know, you open the box, it comes with like a pair of panties, hotel room keys. All these things you can throw onto the stage.
Yeah, you can't tell me people wouldn't want to jump in and, like, belt out "What's New, Pussycat." I mean, come on.
That'd
be awesome.
I did some Tom Jones song once. It was a couple of years ago, but it went over really well.
Did anybody throw panties at you?
Not literally, but... Oh, God, what was that one? It was either It's Not Unusual or...
Yeah.
It was one of his more popular ones, but...
Nice. Yeah,
Tom Jones Hero would be awesome. God, what other hero games would be cool?
Tom Jones Hero.
It's like you got to pick someone that isn't really mainstream, but is really popular anyway.
Yeah, like maybe they're not huge, but they're somebody that just people know.
Right.
Well, like Beatles Hero would be probably the most obvious one ever.
It sounds like people are pursuing that.
Yeah, from what I've read online, it sounds like both Harmonix and Activision are going after them, so...
Well, which one has the closest ties to Sony? Now, that's interesting, because Sony owns half their catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm starting to put math together on that. It could be an exclusive. Maybe Sony, like, makes it themselves, and it's only on the PlayStation.
Yeah, just we need another company making a music game.
Does Michael Jackson still have any of that, or did he, maybe he signed even more away of it to
Sony? I think he still has part of it, but like he used to have all of it, and then he had to sign some of it over, and I think that's how Sony got the chunk of it that they have now.
He's like, oh, Sony, I want to buy some money. I put up Let It Be as collateral.
Oh, and speaking of that, that could be something that might tip the scales towards Guitar Hero a little, because the new Rock Band is 360 exclusive for who knows how long, because it's coming out in September, and they haven't announced a launch date for any of the other systems yet.
Well, it probably sells the most on that system, so maybe it's not a huge deal.
But, I mean, that would be, you know, the Microsoft-Sony angle there.
Well, that's true. I mean, if you look at Guitar Hero 3, I mean, that was on 360, PS3, PS2, and the Wii. I guess Rock Band was as well, but not, I mean, that was like all platforms at launch. It
yeah.
was on Guitar Hero 3, I mean, so.
Where like the Wii Rock Band just came out like a month ago or something.
Right, and
like
the PlayStation 2 one was.
And it just came out in Europe like a month ago, too.
Doesn't it cost like $1,000 in Europe? Well, not that much, but it's a lot.
Well, I know a lot of people, what they did is they bought. Because, like, if you have a PS3, it's not region-coded or whatever, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So they just bought the American version of it, you know, like, back in November or December when it came out and had it shipped to them.
Yeah, what is all this, all this game stuff cost so much in other countries, so much more, even beyond the currency rate?
I don't know.
I mean, again, maybe, you know, people talk about the weak American dollar, but if you had to pay, like, $100 for a video game, I mean, maybe that's...
Yeah, it's pretty absurd.
Yeah, well, we could get into a whole discussion there, so I won't, but feel free to email in your comments about the cost of gaming in other countries, because we really don't have any data on it besides what we see people comment on.
Yeah, but we do think it's ridiculous on what little we have seen.
Yes.
I know it's shit like we're like in Australia, PlayStation 3 costs like $650 or $700 or something like that. I mean, it's just like absurd shit.
And that's not even, like, an American company, like, trying to, like,
yeah,
you know, Eurowash someone. Oh, there's one, Eurowash. Because there's greenwash,
yep,
right?
That's right, yeah.
Greenwashing is when you charge more for something because it's green.
Yes, which is all the rage these days.
Okay, so we should probably wrap this particular one up, the hero topic, but what else, God, what else could there be? Fleetwood Mac Hero, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. What about Heart Hero?
Yes!
It has a hell of a ring to it.
I'm telling you, though, Country Hero. They could call it that.
Yeah.
The hero, I know it doesn't have the word guitar in it, but they could call it Country Hero. Okay, it's got the word hero. If you could have, like, Garth Brooks and Shania Twain, and that's all you would even need, and it would sell.
Yeah.
But you could throw in, like, Merle Haggard.
Alan Jackson.
Yep,
and Brooks and Dunn.
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and then, like, some older
some
good
Johnny
country.
Throw some Johnny Cash and... Charlie Daniels in there and stuff.
That would sell like... I'd buy it. Why not? Seriously, that would sell. Yeah. I don't see...
Well, it would have to be one where you could sing, though. It would
exactly.
Have to be.
See, all right, I'm going to apologize in advance for what I'm about to say, but when you're flying from Los Angeles to New York, then New York to Los Angeles again, take a look out the window at the states you're flying over, the flyover states, because I know that's what they're called. There's people down there that would buy these games. You know?
Yeah.
They may not show up in tracking data, but trust us. People would buy that. Definitely.
It's America's heartland.
Right.
Or something.
Flyover states, maybe flyover states, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, that would sell big time.
They could put Tim McGraw on it, too.
Oh, yeah. Elwood, that Faith Hill bitch.
They could put that Indian Outlaws song on there. I always liked that one.
Remember when Faith Hill was like just kind of like this normal woman, then she turned into like a tramp?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really weird.
She was like...
They kind of like put her through like the pop star machine or something like that, and she came out at like a tramp on the other side. They're like, well, we put Shakira through this, and look what happened.
That's right. Oh, that's right, because Shakira looked totally different before she came to America.
Well, what's that other chick, the Fuji chick who's on her own now?
Oh, Fergie?
Fergie, yeah.
Oh, wait. Wait, did you say Fugees?
Oh, she wasn't in the Fuji. What was the name of the group? Black Eyed Peas. Wasn't
Fergie.
The one she... But Fergie was in that group, yeah. Right?
Yes, Fergie was in Black Eyed Peas.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the Fugees was Lauryn Hill or whatever, yeah. So, right. Completely different person.
Well, Beyoncé Knowles really had a pretty even transition, you know.
Yeah, she was Destiny's Child before or whatever. Yeah.
Whatever happened to En Vogue? They were big back in the day. They need to have En Vogue Hero.
Well, it's like Boys to Men. What happened to them? They were like huge back
in the
day.
Oh, they were monstrously huge.
Yeah. And they just fell off the face of the earth.
Boys to Men Hero. One of the achievements could be like, you became a man. Bloop, achievement unlocked.
The achievement could be called Boy to Man.
Oh, God. Let's see. Who else? All right, so Neil Diamond Hero, and yes, just make a whole game about country music, and
yep. It'll
be like printing money.
Yes.
See, we live in an interesting state. It's
we live like in pretty much in like a uber liberal city in the midst of conservative, you know, rural
people.
Area basically. Yeah, it's
yes.
A very interesting state.
And we're not, you know, ripping on either of those people. We're just saying, yeah, you could be like at a war protest and drive three blocks and go to a gun show.
Yeah.
It's that kind of state.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I think it's cool.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just saying, but you just never know, you know? And so we... Yeah. There's people that like country.
Yeah. They're not hard to find, either.
Yep. Well, you know, they have all this stuff like, oh, wow, look at the new market with the Wii or whatever. And, like, make a country game, and you will find a whole shitload of a new market.
Yeah.
Because they want... I mean, that would make tons of women play video games.
Well, like, look at that shit that, like, in our hometown, Richland Center, they have this thing called Star Spangled Celebration. It's been going on, what, 15 years now?
Yeah,
I think it is.
That.
And it's a little town of 5,000 people, little rural area. Basically, all they have is a Walmart and a shitload of churches and fast food restaurants. And that concert goes for, like, 3 days once a year, and they get, I think it's something like, over the course of the 3 days, don't they get, like, 20,000 to 30,000 people?
It's pretty nuts.
It's, like, a lot. I mean, that's, like, in a little freaking small-ass town in rural Wisconsin that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, like, connect the dots.
And I don't know who it was. Someone was telling me that they actually tried to change the format. They didn't want it to be country anymore, and then the person was like, no, it must be country.
Yeah, I was telling you about that.
Even though I think people in that town would... You know, they could have a polka fest and they'd still
go. Yeah, they'd still
just
go.
Just because it's something to do, but...
But, I mean, obviously a lot of people come from out of town for that concert. I mean, looked at... You know, we went there last weekend. We didn't go to the show, but we went through town and there were just tons of RVs parked and, you know, tents all over and, you know, like out at the high school and in the park and everything.
Yes,
and
I had this brilliant idea to film there. Well, we got, like, a lot of stock footage of, like, tents and camps and stuff, you know, for Possumus Man 2.
Yeah.
: Possumus Woman.
So now you know where that footage came from when you watch the epic film.
Yes. But,
yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't really like country music, but I agree that a company would be wise to make a game based around it, because it would definitely sell. Because there's
yes.
a lot of people that listen to country music, and, you know, they play video games, too, and...
Right. And I think, you know, maybe, I mean, I'm going to make assumptions here, but they have these, like, preconceived notions, like, people that like country music don't play video games, like, bullshit. I don't know.
It's like, well, if that's true, then why do NASCAR video games sell so well? And
it's a perfect example, yeah.
And Madden.
Or
and
those deer
like
hunting
that,
games sell
deer
big.
Deer hunting games, yeah, you know,
yeah.
It's like...
I mean, I don't see the point of a deer hunting game. If you want to hunt a deer, go out and shoot a deer. But people, that's my opinion. I mean, but people still buy it, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just wait. When some company does that, they'll see, and they'll be like, what?
Yeah, they put achy breaky heart on there,
well,
too.
Well, like 10 years ago, like, there was, like, a country invasion.
Yeah.
You know, like, Shania Twain was, like, all over the place. So, I mean...
Oh, I remember. I worked at Walmart at the time, and...
And yeah, it's not quite like
it.
That anymore, but I mean, it's still out there. Well, Carrie Underwood's pretty popular, although she's kind of a crossover.
Yeah, she was an American Idol.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was some sort of like American Idol video game at some point. I know they have some.
There is.
Yeah.
Already. It's like a
karaoke thing. They're just like shovelware or something or what?
Well, they actually came out. It's like, I think it's the new Karaoke Revolution game, but it's actually like American Idol Revolution or something, and it's just a karaoke game. Hmm. They've got like a shitload of songs you can download for it. I think Yeah, I think there's like, God, it's like maybe like 80 or 90 songs. There's a lot.
Huh. Well, remember we were talking about this? Yeah, it's been a while since we had a podcast. They should make some sort of karaoke video game, but you can like stream a song in.
Yeah, and it'd be like subscription based or something like that.
Because that's the big difference between like karaoke and like these guitar games. Like if you have a group of people together and someone wants to sing, it's like, okay, it's not what song do you want to sing, it's like, oh, what song here do I know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have like 50 songs to choose from. That's pretty limiting. Whereas, yeah, like, even the shittiest karaoke person is probably going to have at least 800 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I want to sing this song, and more than likely they'll have it.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. So if they could have a game where you could, like, you know, just get the song that you need and, like, stream it in, and I don't think it'd be that big.
No.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. That would make a lot of money as well, I think.
See, and I know they have Guitar Hero, but I think if they called things like Country Hero or Karaoke Hero, it's still close enough to the brand name that, you know,
people would
recognize it. I mean, no, Neil Diamond Hero makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
Some Kentucky woman. Oh, hell, I'd buy Gordon Lightfoot Hero, too. Gordon Lightfoot's awesome.
What about Journey Hero?
You know, if they had, if they had like all Journey game, I'd buy it because Journey's awesome. Air Supply Hero. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Star power ready.
On my command, unleash star power.
Master and Commander, the far side of the world. That movie was pretty good.
I didn't even make it all the way through that. I fell asleep halfway through. Yeah.
I watched it on an airplane.
Well, I guess it is hard to fall asleep on an airplane, so.
Yeah, for me it is. I can't sleep in cars either. It sucks.
Yeah.
I think it's a genetic defect. Well, airplanes are like,
yeah, just have that constant drone.
That's my impression of an airplane.
Yeah, the last flight I took, I had to sit back by the engines. That kind of sucked.
I always end up by those fucking engines. It's kind of sad. Where was it? I don't know. I was on an airplane, and I actually got the whole can of Pepsi, because a lot of times they don't even give you a whole can of Pepsi.
Yeah, I've noticed that's pretty hit or miss.
Yeah, it's like, wow, a whole can of Pepsi. This is living. Yeah, all right, well, we should probably move on, but in short, make a country music video game.
And you'll make money.
So what were other topics going to be? I completely forgot.
There was something about the relevance of like film critics, I think, was one.
Oh, yes. Okay, what do you think?
I'm not sure what the other ones were.
I mean, you have that. Jones has afistfulofreviews.com, plug, a website.
Yes, that is intermittently updated, but we just put a fresh podcast up the other day. So, but anyway, I would say I think film critics, they can be interesting. Like, I like seeing what other people's opinions on a movie is, but they generally don't influence me watching something. Like this Wanted movie that just came out, like, what, last weekend? That's the first time where I've seen a movie and the reviews it's been getting kind of influence me to want to see a movie in a long frickin' time. I can't remember the last time that I thought, oh, critics liked this, I should see it. And I think it's because my impression of that movie is I'm like, oh, it's Angelina Jolie in some generic action piece of shit is what it looked like.
There's a lot of ads for it, but yeah, it didn't encourage me to want to see it.
But then I see it's getting pretty good reviews, like on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got like a 74% or something, which is pretty decent.
And they seem to review it good, even in spite of the movie. Like,
yeah,
I this movie doesn't make a lick of sense, or it's dumb as hell, or
yeah,
it seems like they say things like that. But I still recommend it. They say,
yeah, it's like still fun and action packed and stuff. And basically, it sounds like a summer movie is what it sounds like from what the reviews are saying.
Yeah.
Which makes me kind of want to see it now.
I used to watch Siskel and Ebert back in the day, but that didn't really govern my opinion.
Yeah.
It's more so you like want to see if you agree with the critics on what you thought of the movie,
yeah,
rather than...
Or see what they thought of it.
Yeah,
even.
Or like, wow, I thought this movie sucked. Did the critics agree with me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because generally I just, as a... I don't know, my thing that I do, I usually will not read a review until after I've watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of my thing. So generally, a review won't influence me seeing a movie because I'll go and see it first if I want to anyway, but generally that's because in the past I've been burned once or twice by spoilers. You know, like the critic might not consider something a spoiler, but I'm fairly anal about
that
stuff.
Well, and especially like in the internet age where it's like, well, yeah, Sixth Sense is coming out next month, and Bruce Willis is dead.
Yeah.
That one was spoiled for me, thanks to the internet.
Yeah, I managed to avoid that somehow, and I didn't even see it until, I think it was a couple, 3 weeks after it came out, and I managed not to know what the big twist was.
I still thought it was a good movie, but, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of deflates it a little.
Well, but so many movies are critic-proof, I mean...
Yeah, well, like Hancock's going to be a good example of it, because it's pretty much getting shit reviews, but it'll, you know, like you said, it'll probably make $100 million this weekend.
You see, when I first saw the trailer for that, I'm like, oh, wow, this looks awesome, but then it was almost like the internet rumors is actually what swayed my opinion, like, oh, it's going through last-minute reshoots, et cetera, and like when you hear like descriptions of the screeners, I'm like, oh, well, this doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Like the last time Will Smith movie went through last-minute reshoots, I think it was like Wild Wild West, and... Still made money, but...
So I guess I should kind of edit what I said before in a way. Reviews, in some cases, can influence me not to see a movie. I would say that happens more often than influencing me to see a movie.
Ah, good point.
Because, like, Wanted's, like, the first one that's made me, like, want to see it in eons.
So critics basically cause people to not see movies, if anything?
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, you know, I might look at the blurbs on Rotten Tomatoes or on the IMDb. They'll usually, like, on Friday, they'll usually have a, you know, a paragraph or something, and it'll say, well, you know, critics nationwide are generally kind of lukewarm on blah, blah, blah movie. And, mm-hmm. you know, they'll have some snippets from some of the big critics and kind of their blurbs that they said. And, you know, some of that might influence me one way or another. Because, you know, going to the movies isn't the cheapest thing anymore, so it used to be I'd go to about anything that I had any sort of inkling and seeing, where now it's not nearly as common.
Well, if you look at something like Rotten Tomatoes, like some of these, like, you know, like aggregate review services like this are becoming very popular, and they have like Metacritic and Gamer Critic or whatever the fuck it is. But it's almost like the critics themselves, you know, why don't they just like give it a score and send it into Rotten Tomatoes? You know, why sit there and like try to be like Hemingway?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like the people who, you know, the people that write these movie critiques all obviously want to write movies, but they don't get to. So it's like that's their outlet.
Yeah.
But really, then look at Rotten Tomatoes. Basically, it narrows it down to, are they recommending the movie? Yes or no? What percentage recommend it? And then it's very popular, you know, this Rotten Tomatoes site. And I look at it a lot.
Yeah.
Wow, WALL-E's at 96%?
Yes.
WALL-E is really good, but I don't know. I mean, I'd like to be proven wrong, but I don't know.
You really don't think that'll make, like, $200 million? He's
okay.
Cute. He's like a cute robot.
I don't know. I mean, but it's
people
just
like cute robots.
The first half of the movie, I think, is just too much to ask of audiences. And I hate to say that, because I thought that movie was astoundingly good, but that's my opinion, not, you know, 400 million Americans.
Hey, maybe it'll be like Titanic. You know, it won't make that kind of money, but, you know, Titanic's like a really, really good movie, and it made a lot of money, you know?
Right, but...
I mean, it doesn't work quite on the same levels, you know, but I don't know.
I guess we'll see.
Rat Chef. I guess
was
I don't
really well don't, reviewed too, and it didn't open very big, but it kept on trucking. But look at the top DVD rentals. 10%, 16%, 41%. Like, the top five DVD rentals are all, like, under 40% in the tomatometer, whatever, however you want to call it. Like, Fool's Gold, 10% is the top rental. People just don't give a shit. I mean, the thing is, people like you or me might care about the quality of movies. The average moviegoer just wants to go see something, move across the screen, and shut their kids up. That's all they care about. So that's why I don't think critics matter.
So why wouldn't they go to WALL-E?
Because
it's like a movie they
could
take kids to, and things move across the screen. You're wrong.
I want to be wrong, believe me, but I...
You're wrong.
Well, I guess I have been wrong in a lot of my predictions this summer.
Except for Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
it's not like that one year when you did make your predictions or whatever, I think, on the Fistful site for, like, what box office is going to be. You were fairly accurate on quite a few of those.
Oh, I remember that, like, Narnia and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Narnia one, I said, always bet on God.
Yep.
Well, speaking of always bet on God, I still maintain that if Hollywood, you know, is always trying to make these big movies, they should make a Ten Commandments remake. I've probably said that before on this podcast.
I think you have, but, yeah, they'd have to drop probably, like, $300 million on it. Make it ridiculously epic.
Yes!
Because the original is ridiculously epic, so...
Yep. They had to make it more... They had to make it ridiculously-er epic.
They'd probably have somebody like frickin' Ridley Scott make it or something stupid like
that. That means
though.
All the Egyptians would run around with masks on. What is with him and masks? People are always wearing masks. You see, like, the last Narnia movie, like, Prince Caspian, what's-his-face?
Yeah.
And, like, the bad guys had masks on. And did you notice they kind of look like a Ridley Scott movie? Did you catch that?
I didn't really even see much of anything for that movie. I see it hasn't done very well.
Well,
either.
You know how, like, in Gladiator, the people in the Gladiator arena, since the movie is called Gladiator, have masks on?
Yep.
You know, there's basically bad guys in Narnia that basically look like that. And it looks like you think you're watching And didn't that fucking Legend movie have that kind of shit, too?
Probably.
Do not care for Ridley Scott. I mean, Alien is a good movie, but like Blade Runner, I just don't get it.
Yeah, pretty overrated.
WALL-E is really cute. I mean,
yes.
Oh, I thought that movie was awesome. I mean, it stars a robot. It doesn't talk. Because I personally believe all movies should be silent. That's, you know, a religious belief of mine. And it's about consumerism, and you and Dale probably already talked about WALL-E in your podcast, right?
I think we touched on it, not much though. But yeah, it's really good. I mean,
what do you think about, like, you know, the not really the message itself, but, you know, 700 years in the future, humans don't even bother walking. I mean,
I'd be surprised if it's 700 years in the future when that happens.
You see, the thing is, I don't even necessarily think people will find that insulting. I just don't think they'll get it.
Yeah, I would agree. Probably a lot of people won't even get it, you know, but they'll still like the movie anyways. Because like you said, people don't really give a shit. You know, they just want to see something flopped up on the screen.
Right, but I just don't know if, like... Well, the thing is, when we saw WALL-E, I mean, there was... I mean, the audience... For, like, the second half, the audience reaction was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't know, there's just not many laughs or anything in the first part, because it's basically a science fiction movie. I mean...
Well, there's some funny stuff in the beginning, even when it's silent. You know, like, he takes the bra out and puts it over his eyes, you know, and stuff, and people laugh at that. And, like, when he's going around kind of collecting things, and then even when the Eve robot shows up in some of the stuff where he's trying to, like, communicate with her,
the ships were blowing up and it was allegedly romantic and he, like, was sliding over to her?
Yeah.
See, but the thing is, I don't think kids would get that. I definitely don't think it's, like, a movie, like, Lost Fish.
Yeah, I would say it's not necessarily a kid's film.
Well, as everyone knows, the new thing is, like, make everything have the simplest title possible. So, Finding Nemo, a.k.a. Lost Fish, I mean...
WALL-E should be like Robot Trash Can or something. But.
Yeah. Well, it's even like talking. Like, even if kids don't understand what the talking is, they still respond to the human voice.
Yeah, I would agree that WALL-E isn't a big kids movie per se, but that won't stop parents from taking
it. Well, there's actually a lot of, like, you know, people without kids in the theater, and, like, older people too, and, like, yeah, really old people. And
yeah, because I mean, like I said earlier, you know, basically it's a very, very good sci-fi story that just happens to be animated.
It's also a love story.
If it weren't animated, it probably wouldn't be nearly as... Basically, I'd say if it wasn't an animated film, it wouldn't have made as much money as it is going to because it is animated.
Yeah, yeah. Even though, you know, in the beginning it's basically photorealistic and actually seems more cartoony when he gets into space. I don't know if that was a deliberate choice.
Might have been a conscious choice, yeah.
Oh, I mean, but like, it's messages about consumerism, and, I mean, they're just dead on. Like,
yeah.
When it's in the future, when people are floating around in chairs, and like nobody even talks to each other.
Yeah, they're like 3 feet from each other going down this thing, and they're, like, talking to each other through computers to one another.
But that's what I love so much about it, was when he bumps into that woman. No, he just has to pass her. He just has to get around that one woman. So he, like, turns off her computer. Yeah, people are, like, floating. They look like big floating, like, lazy boys.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a virtual, like, computer display in front of them, and they're always talking into it, which is basically, like, the cell phone of the future. But they don't actually talk to each other. And, you know, I've mentioned that to you before. Like, you'll go into a bar, and everyone will be talking on cell phones, not necessarily to each other. And, you know, the movie talks about those kind of topics. And then what Wally does is he actually interacts with the people. And it's like he actually goes – it's the humans, wouldn't say they've become robots, but they've changed. And he actually humanizes them, and he also humanizes the robots. And he's also a Christ figure in the movie.
Yeah, like Wally's more human than the humans, basically.
Yep. But, you know, I think the humans that, you know, did do our characters in the movie, they made them, you know, very likable. Like,
yeah.
None of them are, like, mean to Wally. I mean,
yeah, that's what I thought was cool, is, yeah, like, the human characters.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, look, a dirty trash can robot. What an asshole. They're like, oh, hello. You know, they're really nice to him and stuff, which is not really what I expected.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, actually, one of my favorite parts of that was when the guy and the girl that he both, like, kind of, like, snaps out of their trance. When they were, like, in the pool, that I just thought, this is a really good scene. And it's kind of like every so often you see what they're doing. It's like, wow, Wally has humanized them.
Yeah, because the robot says, like, you cannot go in pool or something like that. And they're like, oh, screw you or whatever.
Yep, then they, like, short-circuit it with the water.
Yep.
Well, we're like when Wally and Eve are, like, flying around in space and, what was her name, Mary, the woman that he meets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the humans are like just these hover chairs going around in lines, and they're completely oblivious of everything around them, kind of like people who drive SUVs. And it's like, he asks the one woman to like back her chair up so he can get past, and that kind of snaps her out.
Yeah.
And then isn't it like the guy runs into the woman because remember she's looking out the window into space.
Yeah.
And then the guy hits her, and then they start a relationship, and
that's when like Wally and Eve go flying by or whatever out in space.
Well, one of my favorite scenes was they go to that. He's got Eve in that transporter, and I thought it was cool. Like no one really cared about Wally. Or, like, they didn't really seem to mind him,
yeah.
You know, even though he was, like, all dirty and stuff, until he started shooting things. But, well, they went up to that one robot that was just pushing the buttons.
Yeah.
And then Wally, like, waves at it, and the robot, like, realizes it can wave.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that is, like, really good science fiction, but, again, I think it's just going to go over people's heads.
Well, there was, like, that other little robot that just went around, like, cleaning and stuff like that, and then at the one point, like, Wally's tracks went off of where he normally, his path was supposed to be,
line.
And he saw them, and he was kind of like, what the hell, and he jumped off of the track,
A scene like that, that's, like, akin to, like, in 2001, where they pick up the bone and realize they can kill people with it. I mean, I know, I just compared Wally to 2001, but it's the same kind of scene. It's like, you know, a normal person that doesn't really understand movies might say, oh, the ape picked up a bone, who cares? But if you care about movies, you're like, wow, that's a really significant event, just jumping off a line.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but, I mean, you know, if you appreciate movies and, like them, you notice those kind of things. And, you know, obviously that's why Wally's getting such good reviews from the critics who are you know, movie fans. But
well, and, you know, there's some reasons, you know, to be kind of, to kind of have that view of the mainstream movie going public, I suppose, just because, you know, we were looking back through box office results for years earlier, and like The Grinch was the number one movie, whatever year it came out. Was that like 02 or 03?
2000. It was 2000, actually.
Oh, 2000, okay. And it's just a horrible movie. I mean, it's a freaking dreadful movie. But it made $260 million, you know, and people just ate it up.
Yeah, it was...
You know, it's like... And then the same year, AI came out, which is a...
Actually, that came out the next year.
Didn't it?
Yeah, 2001.
Oh, okay. I can't keep track anymore. But, you know, a remarkably well-done movie, you know, one of the best movies Spielberg's probably done, and it fails. You know, I think it made like $70 or $80 million and cost.
Well, the
like
one thing I noticed
million.
About AI is like people would actually go out of their way to tell their people that they didn't like it.
Yeah.
Like, did you notice that too? Like,
oh,
people,
yeah.
People would be like, oh, I didn't like that AI movie. I'm like, what are you talking about? I thought it was great. But the thing is, I didn't say you're an idiot. I just said, well, this just shows that people didn't understand this movie.
Yeah, one of the things I thought was really great about WALL-E that made it as good as it was like the love story thing. So it was just very well done, and it's like two freaking robots like falling in love with each other, and it's like better than 99% of the romantic movies out there involving human characters.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so, so well done. It was, I mean, to me, it's easily the best movie of the year so far.
Oh, I would agree. One of my favorite parts was when they're in the elevator and the screen comes on.
Oh, yeah.
And then she shoots it because she's pissed.
Yeah.
Because she acts like kind of like a pissed like wife or girlfriend through a lot of it.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny. And yeah, and the robots barely speak, but you still know exactly what they're thinking because the animation is so good.
And like basically, you know, the whole plot moves because of like WALL-E's love for her and all that.
Or the other scene, remember? When she's watching her security footage and she realizes how WALL-E was protecting her when she was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
That was really touching, too.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, wait, I guess I do like WALL-E. Oh, and then at the end, I mean, yeah, I guess we shouldn't like talk about the end too much, but...
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but that was
really,
really great how they kind
payoff.
Of reversed their roles at the very end.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what was cool. I mean, that movie was a lot about, you know, there's a lot of duality, like... Yeah, you know, the humans go off and they kind of become robotic, and the last thing left on Earth is a robot, but it kind of absorbs humanity through its garbage, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like really the only human left, and then it goes and like humanizes people. And again, I thought about it, I realized that, you know, I think there was actually a little bit of like a Christ allegory going
on.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Because, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a spoiler. It's like most animation, yes, WALL-E almost dies. I mean, that happens in any movie like this. And then he comes back, just like Jesus. So, I mean, I don't think it was terribly subtle. I mean, he even... Well, okay, I don't want to... It would be spoilers, but... Yeah. I guess, okay, WALL-E kind of bears a cross almost in one part. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, you could interpret it that way once I thought about it.
Yeah.
So... All right, well, we've gone over, and this isn't the Fistful podcast, so it's not going to be 9 hours long. But, basically, yes, Activision should make, or somebody should make a country music game, and WALL-E is really good science fiction.
Yes.
Well, you know, I rate movies, my rating of movies is, I'm pissed because I'll never have that 2 hours of my life back, which I don't usually think. I
like
know there's
Time Bandits?
No.
That's how I felt about that movie. It did steal time from me.
Well, I know the movie I've had that opinion of. I know you like it.
Uh-oh.
The Village.
Oh.
I actually was angry that I watched that movie.
But it's got Sigourney Weaver in it.
I know, and Sigourney Weaver's like my favorite actress, but... And she's in WALL-E.
Yeah.
As the ship's computer narrating the history of Earth, like planet Earth.
Yep. Apparently that's her role these days. Anything Earth-related she has to be involved in. And it had Slick Willie Hurt. I mean, Jesus, come on.
I do think WALL-E will do really well overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, even the stuff about obesity and that, I mean... Actually, that might be offensive to people. I mean, it shouldn't be, but... You know, because they can make smoking evil in media, but they can't make obesity evil.
Yeah.
Even though WALL-E does.
Well, hopefully people do pick up
well,
on
like,
that
they
and
show,
think
like,
about it.
They show,
know?
Like, the wall that has, like, all the pictures of the captains that are on the ship with you, and they progressively get fatter as they pan across the pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, that was hilarious. Oh, and the guy's like, some of you may have experienced slight bone density loss while in space.
Yeah.
He's like, as we're on year 700 of our 5-year trip.
Well, then wasn't it, like, one of the things that showed, like, all these different foods that were, like, now available, like, in a drink form?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was, like, pizza and, you know, steak or what, all this crap. And they're like, now you can drink it or
oh, and the part, God, I want to see that movie again. Like, the part where the captain stands up, that was
yeah.
That was awesome. I still think I like Iron Giant better, which is a movie most people probably haven't seen, but they should.
I still need to watch that, too.
But I've seen that movie several times, and I've only seen WALL-E once, so...
Yeah, I liked Finding Nemo the best of the Pixar movies before, but I think I would take WALL-E over it now. But Finding Nemo is still pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've always liked the Andrew Stanton ones, like Finding Nemo, Bug's Life, now WALL-E. Because, like, yeah. The Toy Stories, I mean, they're good, but they've got plot holes you could drive a truck through. I mean, they're not perfect.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
So, yeah, go see WALL-E.
Yes. Although, just do not... It's different than other Pixar movies, definitely. And it's not really for kids.
But take them anyway, because they deserve to see good movies for a change instead of, like, garbage like that Madagascar 2 thing they got advertised before WALL-E.
Yeah, as I sat there watching that, and the animals are saying, I like to mope it, mope it, and they stick in their face in the camera. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, I know WALL-E is going to be completely different from this, and that's good.
And it was.
Well, even Walt Disney said that, you know, animation, he didn't make them for kids, you know. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess we're going to talk to you all later.
All right, adios.
Goodbye.